He's already past the rapture. He's already past the second coming. He's already past the end of the world as we know it. Why? Because God is outside of time. He sees everything. And so he knows those who are going to be with him in heaven. And in the sense of predestination, he's working in their lives. But that doesn't mean there are only some people chosen and the rest are destined for hell. That's not what God does. The Bible says he takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner and that he wants all men everywhere to repent. Now, if that's true in the scripture, then we have to believe that God wants everybody to come to heaven, but we know sadly that won't happen. The fourth thing is, I ask the question, is God fair? And can I trust him? I struggled in my early Christian years to say, you know, in my mind I could say, yes, I trust God, but yet I didn't want to go there because I thought if I really commit myself to trusting God, I might end up in some other country that I don't want to go to, that it's going to be awful and I'll live in a difficult situation. But as you go on, you realise God has his purposes, God has his timings, and God doesn't send you places that he doesn't equip you for and doesn't put something in your heart for so that you may go to a place that you might think is extremely hard, but you're there and God's with you. And that's an exciting thing to live in. So with Australians, we believe in a fair go. And we don't like unfair situations and we cheer for the underdog. My daughter growing up, as with all children who grow up, they find that children in school can be children in school. And she used to say, it's so unfair. And of course, being a compassionate dad, I'd say, life's unfair, darling, get over it. Very kind I was. And I don't think she's forgiven me yet, but we'll get there. You see, bad things do happen to good people and to good Christians because God is not fair. I used to say that in the past. God is fair. God is not fair. He doesn't have to be fair. He doesn't set his mind to be fair, but he is faithful because he has a purpose for your life. You think of the immediate. He thinks of the eternal. You think of, hey, Lord, why is this happening to me right now? This isn't reasonable. This isn't fair. But God's thinking not only of this life, but what's beyond this life. And he's working within us. And so if you get that concept in, God is not fair. He is faithful. And he'll take us through the circumstances. That we know in the Psalms, it tells us that we go through situations, but God takes us through them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all, meaning that God delivers them through, doesn't lift them out of, but takes them through. And that's why scripture is so important, because it opens and reveals truth to us of what God is trying to do and our relationship with God. Was it fair for Joseph? A young man, he was his father's favourite. He was a teenager. Then his brothers, in other words, his closest family, sold him into slavery. Was it fair that he was accused of rape and he was innocent? And from that, he was thrust into prison and he wasn't there just 10 minutes. He was there for a number of years. And I can't imagine what the Egyptian prisons were like then. They're certainly not like the prisons we have today. He had to endure that. I mean, if you were Joseph, you'd say, well, I had a dream way back, but that's disappeared. Here I am, it's not fair. But Joseph trusted God and God delivered him and he became the second most powerful man of the most powerful nation at that time and provided for the children of Israel to come down to Egypt. Was it fair for Job, who lost his children, lost his buildings, lost his flocks, lost all his servants? He lost his health and ultimately he lost his reputation because his friends came and said, the reason you're going through this is because you have sinned. And then Job, of course, was trying to justify himself, but God had a greater intention for Job. The Bible says Job was the most righteous man on the earth at that time. But God wanted something more. He wanted relationship with Job. So he put Job through this. And Job says in Job 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And out of that came a great relationship with God, and how beautiful that was for Job. Was it fair for David, who was anointed king? He was just a young fella at the time, probably a teenager, I would believe, still looking after the sheep out in the paddocks, youngest of the eight sons. And there he was, and he was anointed by Samuel, the prophet. He waited 13 years to see what that was prophesied over him, that he was to be king. But in the meantime, he was pursued by King Saul, who wanted to kill him. David had opportunity to kill Saul at least on two occasions, but he didn't. Why? Because he trusted God. You see, all of these are trusting God for the outcome. They're looking beyond the immediate. Often we want to just break out. I mean, in these days, we are instant people. We just want everything quickly done now. You know, let it happen. We get used to that. But sometimes God says, you got to wait and trust me for the outcome. Was it fair for Jesus and what he endured? He was without sin and totally righteous, yet he had to endure the cross of shame and death to give us our opportunity of relationship with God. And some people say God is unfair in sending people to hell. Well, even if they haven't heard the gospel, well, I understand that and I feel somewhat similar, but I think we have to say, God, we just trust you. One day we'll understand, God will explain, but right now I don't understand. I don't understand why bad things happen to good Christian people. They don't deserve it. That's certainly true. But God is in control. And this morning, I'm saying we've got to have trust in God. But let me just talk, if I could just share some things relating to me. Coming to this city of Mackay, I was a youth pastor, a young adult pastor in Townsville, and I loved it. We had a fantastic group of young people, and I've always said if God would have left me, I would still be the youth pastor in Townsville, even to this day. I just loved it. I loved the kids. It was a great youth group. It was thriving. A lot of good things were happening. And then God said, come to Mackay. And of course, you know, the culture's different. I believe that, I'm careful in saying this, but I came from a fairly good spiritual atmosphere in Townsville. And I believe over Mackay, there's a spirit of religion. And we have tried to deal with that over the years, and we've broken through in our church, but we want more yet in God. And so I'm in the midst of that. And then God says, start a school. So we took that little load on as well and kept rolling along. And it just, I had to trust God. I had to trust God for the provision. There was no money. There was no, fancy help out there that made it all happen. We just walked step by step and seeking God and trusting God. Then jumping ahead to last year, evil was perpetrated on our school. It was perpetrated on our board and on me personally. We were attacked in social media. We were attacked in the newspaper, the television. And I received 30 accusative emails that were, you know, absolutely unpleasant. And it was unfair because it wasn't true. It was based on false accusations and untruths that had been stated about our school and about the board. And I thought, if only I could stand up and say something and let people know what the whole truth is. But it was complicated because in doing that, it would have created some other situation. It would have created an effect that would have hurt our school. It would have caused turmoil, literally in our staff, and it affected the reputation of our school, and I didn't want to upset that as well. I just felt, well, I can't really get out there and explain the whole story. And then the thing was, I felt the Spirit of God wanted me to be quiet. So I had to put my trust in God. And I'd say that experience really took me to another level in trusting God. And I put my trust in God and I declared it. And I had to forgive people. I had to walk away from things. I mean, I wasn't sleeping well, as you can imagine. I had heart stress. I had to go and see a cardiologist. Just a lot of things occurring. But I put my trust in God. I said, God, I trust you. This is your school. They're your people. And I'm just here. And even if I die in the process here, you are still faithful. You are still God. And I kept my trust walking through that. And despite the accusations and the things that were said, in fact, it was so bad, our barrister who was working for us, he said, he believed that we had justification to sue for defamation. That's how bad the whole thing was. And I wanted to convey the truth, but I knew God wanted me to stand back. But here's the good thing. Great things happened out of that. We got good new leadership. We got a good operation happening, good people. And we saw, I think I've told you this before, but we hadn't grown in the previous 4 years in our school except with a handful of students. And then this year we had a great growth. Great growth. God did good things. Why? Because we trusted him. I put my trust in him, and I still am working through that. And so we got through that, and I could see God had shaped things in the school. I thought, how wonderful is this? Great things are happening. And then Kane and Alyssa came to see me and said, we believe God is taking us out. And I thought, oh, no. I mean, I had spoken to Kane some years back and said, Kane, I believe you're the guy that can take over this church from me. And, you know, we talked about that. And so I was working with him, training him. He was doing a good job. And now he's going. I said, oh, okay, well, look, you know, you're visiting another place. And I said, why don't you hang on to your house here and you can always come back and, you know, it'll pay your rent while you're out of town. He said, no, we believe God wants us to sell up and to go. And so off I went. That was last month. And so I'm thinking, it can't get any worse. Claire said this morning, we're believing for a great year in 2024. I'm believing just to survive this year. And then Jen and Jar come. So we believe God is taking us out. I said, oh, okay, well, you know, go away for a little while, come back and keep your house. I said, no, we believe God wants us to sell up, sell our house, make the move, follow the directions of the Spirit. And, I mean, they're talking about moving 11,000 kilometres away. I can't even drive there. You know, it's just, and here we've, from the first day, we saw our granddaughter and to today, and now she's going to grow up speaking American, not even speaking English. I thought, how fair is this, Lord? And then, of course, in you know, they look, because they're leaving everything behind, they've been selling everything up. And I went round last Saturday before, and they had a lot of stuff out for sale. And there's a Bible that we had given to Jen when she was about Zara's age. And in the flyleaf, we'd written, and they had it in a box to give away. And I something in me died. I just felt the hurt. I thought, God, how can this be? How can this happen? You know, this is our only family. They're not going down the road, not even going to Melbourne. That would be bad, but it's worse than Melbourne. How fair is this? I've lost a key assistant. Now I'm losing my worship leaders and family in the same period. Kane and Alyssa, January. Jen and Jacques, February. And I am warning anybody else in this church. You come and tell me the Lord's told you something, look out. Because I might forget that I am sanctified. God puts us to the test, folks, because he's got a greater plan than our immediate plan. My immediate plan is, let's keep it happy, let's be comfortable, let the car not break down, let, you know, the cat be good, all that sort of stuff. God's plan is beyond this time, in this life, and for eternity. And I've had to walk through that, and you know, after that event of the Bible, I just had to come to the Lord and say, God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to hang on to you. Whatever happens, you've got greater plans. I may not like them. I certainly don't enjoy them. But I'm going to trust you, Lord, and hang on to you. And so that's the place that I've come to. And I've got to say to you, will you trust God? Because I don't know what's going to come into your life in the future, in the near future. Maybe it's already come into your life. Perhaps there are people who've hurt you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what issues you face. But I have to encourage you. Do what the Bible says. You know, if forgiveness is needed, forgive. We don't have the luxury of hanging on to unforgiveness. Why? Because it twists something in our heart and we become bitter. The Bible says the bitterness will destroy us, destroys our soul, destroys us from the inside. Don't be ever unforgiving, whatever it might be, going through health things. I think, God, why don't you heal everybody? Well, and I believe in healing. Please don't misunderstand me. I do believe in it totally and I pray for it. And I pray for people to be healed who then died. I think, God, why is this? You know, I believe in healing. Jesus died that we might be healed by his stripes. I can't explain that. And I'm not going to try. But I'm just saying, trust God. Some of you are going to face this year with challenges. Things are going to happen and you're going to say, this is terrible. It's unfair. But I'm praying that you'll come back to what I've shared with you this morning and saying, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to really hang in there with God and see what he can do. Let's go back to the scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Please, on the scripture. Is it just jumped? Yeah, there, thank you. Would you say it with me this morning? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Other versions say he will guide you. And I just want that to be a strength in you, a mantra that will carry you through whatever it is you may be facing right now or you may face in the future. Understanding that God has a greater purpose than you can see at this point in time. You know, raising children, we have to do things. We send them to school when they just may hate going to school, but we have a greater purpose there. And they may think it's not fair, but we know that it's necessary. So let's pray together this morning. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as I pray. And I want to ask you this question. What are you going through? What have you struggled through? Perhaps you come to that place where you are fully trusting God, so you know how to walk through that. And I pray that's the truth. Because the challenges come and they come and they come. And I don't fully understand, nor can I explain. But I just make the declaration. I trust God with all my heart. You see, the thing about trusting God with all your heart is not trusting God with all your head. Because with a head, if you had a head knowledge of trusting God, then when circumstances come or difficulties come, that head knowledge might slide and you may let go. But when you trust something with all your heart, you're totally in it, totally convinced that it's what God wants for your life. And so, Father, this morning, I come with all these wonderful people, and I pray, oh Lord, that we might be strengthened by your word, that we might come to that place where we can say, we trust God with all our heart. We don't lead into our own understandings and say life isn't fair, or why do bad things happen to good Christian people. We just say, God, while we will yet pray, we will put our trust in you and know that all things are of you, and that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Lord, I pray that we can get beyond the lies of the enemy, which says God doesn't love you because he allows bad things to happen to you. May we not walk in that, but may we have a determination. We're going to see it through. God, you have a greater purpose. And if there be people here today who are suffering from hurts, from rejections, from offences, from whatever it might be, may they just forgive. And may their declaration be, I'm going to trust God with all my heart. And just know that you can carry them through these things. We pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, now to the hard part. We as a church believe in honouring, and that's what we want to do today. And of course, you can understand it's a bit of a challenge for me because I'm not only their pastor, but I'm the parent, family, and I just want them to go out with honour. I want them to have the sense of how much they're loved in this church and what they've given to this church over the years. Jen has literally spent all her life in this church. She's been a part of everything from back in Royal Rangers through to youth and young adults. She's run connect groups in the schools. She's led our worship team there. She's been involved in many things. And Jack was a teacher in our school for, I think, was it 5 or 6 years? Five anyway, there. So he taught in the school and had great relationship with those students over the years. So plus he has also led our worship team, and they both have brought our worship, you know, towards that greater level of place where we're looking for the presence of God to flow. They've set their hearts on that, and they've just been involved with so many people. So many people know them. We were trying to get time to have dinner with them, but they just booked up for weeks. You know, I think the only thing we can do is grab them in the middle of the night and try and do something with them. On Wednesday morning next, we're driving them to the airport, and we don't know when we'll see them again. I'm hoping it won't be too long, but who knows? In the facts of things that go forward, it might be quite some time. And some of you understand what I'm saying, because you've moved from other countries to Australia, and perhaps your parents didn't get to see you for a number of years either, and they're hearing your children, instead of speaking Afrikaans, now speaking Australian, and which is a form of English, and therefore it makes it difficult. But today, I want to thank you guys, and just before we have a little few speeches, I'd like to cut the cake. Let's bring that down, then they can cut that up while we're talking. And pieces of cake will be available in just up the back, probably in the entryway there, maybe to the side. Please get a piece of cake and celebrate these lives. Well, I'd like to say celebrate their going, but that sort of sticks in my mouth a bit as we talk. But just stand up, folks, will you? Come on around here, face the cake. It says, Jen and Jack, why are you leaving us? We love you. Okay, well, true message. Put the knife in there and just cut it, guys. Would you do that? Get photos for us. And little Zara. Come on, sweetie. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want you to come up on the stage and join me. Would you do that? Bring Zara with you.
She's not going to leave the cake.
Oh, okay. Can have some later. Thanks, guys. You can collect the cake now. And is there somebody organised to cut this up? Okay, great. We can make it happen. Please don't splash cream all over our floor. That does leave a mess as you eat your cake. Well, what a beautiful family. What a wonderful family. Jen, of course, has been with us for about 35 years. Jack, about 17 years, would it be? From about 2006. Nearly 17, 18. Zara with us for, she just turned 4 in November and the 9 months before that. And so it's just wonderful. And today, saying goodbye to you is a painful experience, not only for me, but I'm sure for many people. But I just want to say how much we appreciate you both and all that you've done. You've been special. You've been so good. You've connected with people. You've built something in this house, of this house. And that's excellent, and that will not go away. I believe that will remain, and I'm praying other people will take up the call to fulfil the areas that you have led as well. And so I just have a couple of people who are going to speak this morning. Let me invite Jesse and Lizzie up to speak. Jen had a great influence in their lives over the years as they were young women growing up, and now, of course, they've well and truly grown up into adulthood, and they're just going to say a few words first of all. So, Jesse, Lizzie, come. Okay. I'll stand here so you can't see them. All right.
Oh, let me just catch my breath. Okay. First of all, we're so blessed to call this two family. There's some people that come into your life and leave a long-lasting impression and legacy. And Jen and Jack, you are that for us. Jen, from being our life group leader, as 14 years old, to now being one of our closest sisters in our 30s. We have truly been blessed by constant love and support. Throughout these many years, we can truly say, holy, I'm like running out like waterfall. we can truly say that you are a part of the reason why we're still serving Jesus all these years later and have grown out of being ashamed in using our gifts for his kingdom. And I know we aren't the only ones who can testify of this. Like us, you and Jack were always encouraging and cheering the next generation in your words of wisdom, prophetic and front foot worship. And this is how you both lived your lives. We watch you both serve through the years as you would tirelessly be the first here and last to leave. We watch you both speak words over people. Even in business, you always took the time to encourage people. We have seen you both lead teams, speak callings out over people, and lead us to a place where God has moved in amazing ways. We've been challenged by you both, and at times a challenge mainly for you, Jen. But you have never given up. Sorry. But you have never given up on us, never shied away from telling us the truth in love, even when we didn't like it. You both have seen us in every season of life, and you both have taught us to always remain humble and teachable, to genuinely seek after God without an agenda, not for his blessing or to gain his status, but to live a life of worship in every area of our life. to cultivate a relationship with God, to seek His will and not our will, to take the narrow road and not the wide, broad gate, and to reverence God and not fear men, and to always be obedient and step out by faith, even if it doesn't make sense.
As Pastor Rob said, yes, Jen saw us grow up. Just a flash grab, just trying to break the mood here, people. a flashback to life group. We watched the love grow between Jen and Jack in high school. And there was a time in their relationship where they separated for a little bit. Now, as sassy teenagers, myself and Liz obviously saw that it affected Jen. And it affected us. So we did not like Jacques. And I repeat, did not like Jacques. He was dead to us at the time. To the point where at youth on a Friday night when Jacques was leading worship, Liz and I would stand on the stage, like stand right down there and watch him, like, we know you ain't up there. You broke our girl's heart. I ain't worshiping. I'm not worshiping the Lord tonight. I'm sorry, Lord. but now we obviously know that there was an absolute reason as to why they went through that in their relationship. And God done a work in us as well. Looking back, we did apologize to Jacques. But in saying that, we saw that you trusted God with your obedience, which led you to where you are now in an amazing marriage. Fast forward all these years later, here we are again, where your obedience to God and His voice takes you across the world. Whew, almost done. Although this is hard to say goodbye, we know that God has ordained this time and has taken you through many seasons to get to where you are today. We believe that where you may go, that the imprints of who you are will deeply change the lives of many people around you. And we're not the only ones to say that. We believe that what Pastor Rob said today, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. We thank you for everything. And we're not the only ones. Many years of true friendship, beautiful memories, and a heart of shameless worship. We love you guys.
Thanks, guys. Bless you. Right. So we're going to get Beck and Apilly up to speak as well. They are on Wednesday night. They had a gathering of the worship team, and they did a farewell there, and things were said. And you're coming, Apilly. Beck won't come. Okay. I don't blame you, Beck. Okay.
Howdy. Jen and Jack. I'm just going to read straight from my phone or else I'm... Yeah. Jen and Jack. Jenny and Jacko. Where do I even start with these guys? I met Jen at a friend's bad dress-up party in 2009-2010. There is a photo if you want to pop that up. To be honest, I was a little starstruck at first because she was the cool worship leader from Extreme Conference. Well, I knew it was a bad dress-up party. I don't know if Jen did. I'm pretty sure that's just your usual attire, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I remember we just had a massive conversation, and we were talking about life and worship, and she was just so kind and hilarious and easy to get along with. And the Extreme team, they brought a team down to Rockhampton in 2010, and I was living at home, and we billeted people at our house, and one of which was Jacques Dutoy. And I remember Jacques sharing a prophetic dream and praying over me, and he was just so intentional, thoughtful, and kind. And it wasn't until 2012 when he asked me to join the Extreme Worship team that I truly realized we were actually, in fact, long-lost brothers. I think there's a photo to pop up. The amount of similarities we share is just ridiculously insane. I'll be here all morning if I start, but that's not what I want to focus on. So these guys quickly became very close friends to me. And even though we had that horrible Marlborough stretch between here and Rocky separating us, we all always managed to make up for lost time with late night chats, songwriting, worshipping together, ridiculous amounts of laughs in between. They sat with me through highs and lows and always had a way of helping me remember what the Lord was saying and calling me to live a life surrendered to Jesus. And when Beck and I started dating 9 years ago, the good times turned into great times. These guys mentored us both as we journeyed towards marriage, and there were more laughs, the late night chats got later, more songs were written, more worship, more divine conversations, and more crazy similarities between all four of us. And more and more and more we realize these people are not merely great friends, but covenant life friends. A friendship that is not limited by proximity, but governed and tethered to the voice of the Lord and His leading. And now living in the same town, across the road, being so close with our daughters being born, these last few years have been such an incredible gift. And I know we'll reflect on these times as the good old days. But today is not a farewell or goodbye, but a see you soon. You've both reminded us time and time again to unashamedly follow Holy Spirit and trust Him with absolutely everything. And we know that we will continue to run together in what God has called us, no matter which hemisphere or postcode. One thing that I'm sure these guys have mentioned, but I want to remind us all, is that they didn't seek this out. They sought the Lord, which is no different to what I've seen them do the entire time I've known them. They sought the Lord and He spoke. And Psalm 37 tells us that the good steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So it's because our life is not our own. It's because the Lord desires obedience. It's because we are called to surrender and yield that we say with excitement this morning, go. The Lord has been speaking so, so clearly in calling you out and to trust Him in each step that it would be unwise for you not to listen and to not go. I know this doesn't mean it's easy, but are we called to live a life of ease or a life of faith? When we yield, when we surrender, and when we obey, we position ourselves to receive the greatest gift that we could ever experience, the gift of Jesus Himself and Jesus in all His fullness. Jack and Jen, you guys have continued to example this to all of us here, and your impact is now extending onto Zara and your future children. And this is kingdom, generational impact. You're both pioneers, prophetic pioneers. There is a prophetic pioneering call on both of you, and you have a unique ability to discern what the Lord is doing and walk uncharted paths towards that. And you call those in your sphere to come towards that. And as it's uncharted, often it may seem countercultural, it may seem out of the box, and maybe even lonely at times. But you hold fast to your conviction and you boldly follow the leadership of the Lord. We honor that in you and we say, do not stop, do not stop. Do not stop boldly running into the more that He has for you. I believe so strongly that because of the weight of your yes and your constant yes, that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That there is an open heaven above you guys. There's an open heaven in your going, above you in your going. God sees your faithfulness. He sees your surrender and He sees your hearts that are willing to just run into the new. So we bless the Lord for what He's doing through you. We say yes to all that He has in store. And we are deeply stirred to see what is waiting for you on the other side of this faith step. We love you deeply. This is where I just might not face you. We thank you for living poured out, for giving so much here in our community, for the prayers, for the worship, for the sacrifices, for the seen, for the unseen. We love you and we say thank you.
Sweetheart, did you want to say something?
I wasn't going to say something, but I feel like I should. Not that it's a duty, but that I would like to. I wasn't going to because I thought I'd be too emotional, but I'm asking God to help me. So first of all, I'd just like to speak from the perspective of a mum. I remember, I think Jen was 14 and we had driven home from school, and I remember as clear as if it were yesterday, I can't remember even what we were talking about, but as we pulled into the garage, she said to me, "Mum, I just love God so much," and it filled my heart with such joy to know that my daughter in high school, teenage years, and I knew it was genuine, that she truly loved God. And I have seen that in you, sweetheart. And that love for God you have faced many challenges in life, some that people will never know about, but you have, and you faced them, and you've trusted in God, and He has brought you through some very tough times, but He's brought you through, and you've given honour and glory to God. And, you know, I truly thank you for that, and I thank you for all that you have, the people that you've loved and encouraged, the young people, some that are here, some that are not here now, because they've moved on to other places. Young people through Extreme, through your worship, both of you. And so thank you so much for both of you that you have just loved on people and encouraged. And one thing, when Jen was little, we always used to say that she was going to be a lawyer when she grew up because she was very good at arguing. Trust me, I'm saying lots of lovely things today, but she's not perfect, neither are we by any means. But Jen is she's very good at, she's able to articulate so well what she wants to say. And I thank God that He gave her Jark, because Jark is such a great listener. He's got many other fine qualities, but he is a great listener. And God has really, truly brought them together. And they're so, you know, so God is so just a beautiful union. And, you know, they have written many wonderful songs for God, worship songs, praise songs. They've led together. They've encouraged together. You've heard what the others have had to say. And I'm truly, you know, from a mother's perspective, to see your children happy and following after God, there's nothing more that you could ask for than that. And thank you both so much. I remember Jen used to serve in youth and Jack used to serve in young adults, and I think they'd meet up afterwards after both those things had finished. And yeah, good old Maccas back in the day, everybody used to go there. And but that was their heart, that even though they weren't serving together, they still wanted to serve where God had called them to do. She just asked me for a tissue. I might need that. I'm not articulate like all the other people that have spoken, but I just wanted to say thank you both so much. We, you know, obviously as family, we're going to miss you greatly. But we are excited about what God is going to do. And I know, gosh, He's just going to bless America with you guys. They're so depraved and deprived over there that they need to take two Aussies. But you know what? We thank God. And many years ago, Pastor Failing prophesied and said many sons would go from this house to, you know, the many countries of the world. And of course she meant sons and daughters, but, you know, sons from the house of God. And so, hard as it is, we send you out believing that God's presence is upon you and His blessing is upon you. Of course, from a mother's heart, I hope that you come back in God's right time. And but in the meantime, hopefully we'll get to visit you. Love you guys.
Thank you. Okay. I know there's people who would probably like to get up and say something, and I just encourage you, have a private word with them later on. Plus, we're asking folk to write a nice note with a photograph perhaps you can upload, or even out at the front desk, the information desk, you can fill something out there as well, which will be included in their album that they'll take with them. So now it's your opportunity to say something.
We want to honour and give thanks where honour and thanks is due. And it's very difficult to articulate the impact and the eternal, yeah, the eternal impact that this community has had on our lives. I arrived here in 2004 on a visit to Australia, which was a very God-ordained visit, to which He provided miraculously for me. I remember it was my first financial miracle that I've ever seen. I was grade 11. And my parents were coming to Mackay and I said, I think I need to go with you. And they said, well, if that's what you believe, you pray about it because we don't have the money. So God provided. The day before I left, I didn't have finances in my bank account. Like literally, I think the last day I could buy the tickets. And that morning when I had to buy the tickets, the finances came through. And that was my first miracle. And it was God's way of saying, you're sent there. And I came here, I visited, and I stepped into the worship. Jen was leading worship. And I stepped into the worship. And I remember going, this is where I want to be. I need to come back to this. I'm going to go back to South Africa. I'm going to finish my high school. I'm going to come back here. How? I didn't know. But I knew I was called here. And series of miracles, series of God stories, series of difficult seasons of having to trust the Lord. But I just want to honor this community for being our community, for digging wells of prayer that we could just sit in and be a part of. And I think I speak on behalf of many other people here today that you've received healing as we've received healing in this house. You've received breakthrough. You've received your calling. You've had a chance to outwork that calling and practice what it means to outwork your identity in Jesus in this place. And we can testify that this has been a place, a safe place, a place that have empowered us. And I do want to honor my in-laws for the way that you guys have empowered us over the years. And even in this season, as hard as it is for you, that you can have the courage to stand up here and send us out. I know it's difficult, but it speaks of your heart of empowering and releasing. And we're excited for the adventure ahead. We're grieving the leaving, but we know that in the Lord, there is no lost time. We know that in the Lord, He's repositioning people across the earth right now because there's a new era and a new season coming in the church and in the world. And we just know we need to be ready. And I pray, we pray that us going is part of your destiny as well. Just like whenever someone leaves from one place in obedience, it's obedience for both sides of the story. And I just pray that your hearts are stirred to pursue and trust, just like Pastor Rob preached today. We're in this place right now of absolutely knowing like 1% of what we're about to step into. We haven't even booked our tickets to America. Like we are doing that in this coming week. We have so many questions for the Lord, but we know it's right. We have received confirmation after confirmation and after confirmation, and we just know it's right. And so we'll continue to champion you from the other side of the world. Who knows, maybe we'll be back. We actually do not know what the future holds, but we just want to say thank you for releasing us. Thank you for blessing us. And thank you for the years of, yeah, being able to be a part of a place with deep wells, deep, deep wells. And yeah, thank you for those whom we've been able to co-labor with over the years as well. It's been the greatest joy to be a part of this community. And Jen and I just kept saying to each other, like, if we leave Mackay without a cent to our name, we are still the richest people on this planet because of the people that God has crossed our path with and the journey and the relationship. And yeah, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And big honor again to Pastor Rob and Denise.
And I just, you heard, it's actually 36 years, Dad. 36 years. I'm 36. Yeah. Not that I relish in that in any way, shape or form. Also, I feel like if this is your first Sunday here at MCF, this is probably really awkward. So thank you for just partnering with the awkward moments. They're probably like, who are you? Thank you, church family. I want to echo what Jack said. And I think just on another thing is special that you shared about trust. And I was a little bit cheeky when I had a meeting with Dad. I wanted to make it official so that it wasn't catching Dad off guard. But I kind of looked at him and I said, it's also kind of your fault that we're here because you've modeled this to me my whole life. And now it's like, I wasn't trying to be facetious, but I was also like, I've grown up in a house of faith. I've grown up in a household of faith. Therefore, to be at this, on the precipice of enormous change, it's like this has been my normal. So therefore, I can trust that what we're stepping into, even though we don't know what that step is, it's going to be wonderful because the Lord is leading us. And I think just as a parting encouragement that we would love to leave you guys is something that the Lord has been constantly speaking to us about is our life in His hands is so much better than our life in our own hands. When God put things in His hand, when Jesus walked the earth and He had, when anything touched His hands, it would multiply. There would be healing. There would be fruitfulness. And I think that's our prayer for you guys as our church community is that whenever we release people, and like what Jack said, thank you for releasing us. Whenever you release your life, your children to the Lord, you release your desires in an age where it is so self-centered, we can trust that in God's hands, there will always be multiplication. There will always be fruitfulness. There will always be His faithfulness because He needs to build His church. We can't build it in our own strength. I feel like this past couple of years, there's been a lot of people who've built the kingdom, built the church, the body of Christ on personality and built it on other things other than Jesus. And we've lost our way. But I feel like what Jack said, we're entering a new era and our encouragement, our parting encouragement and edification to you church is put your life in God's hands. Put your life in Jesus' hands. Trust Him. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. And we've just been led out with that sense of where the Lord said in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you." We don't know, but He knows. And they are good and not for evil, plans to give us a future and a hope. And we just want to encourage you, church, that God, with your life in His hands, He's got a wonderful future ahead of all of you. And thank you. Thank you to our church community. Thank you so much. We love you guys. We bless you guys. And we look forward to visiting whenever that will be and seeing the greater multiplication. And we'll rejoice in what God has done in His church.
Amen. Thank you. And now I need to pray. So, darling, come and stand with me on this. I know I could get heaps more people up here to stand with us in prayer, but perhaps this morning, why don't you stand? And can I just get you to extend your hand towards them as we pray? You'd agree with me? Heavenly Father, our lives are in your hands. And I'm just conscious that you do things that we don't quite understand at the time that they happen, but obviously in hindsight we will see what you intended. I do pray, sending forth Jen and Jack from this house with honour, with love, with respect, with a sense of loss in one sense and yet a sense of wonder that the hand of God moves upon people and upon our family. And so, oh God, I commit them into your hands, sending them forth with your loving hand upon them, with our loving hand upon them, with your grace, that they might step forward in faith and trust, that they might go forth with a certainty that this is the way, walk ye in it, that they might know what you intend as they walk towards the things you have. They will see the outworking of your purposes and plans in their life. I commit them to you, Lord. These are people whom we love deeply and whom we treasure and whom we obviously will miss by not being able to physically hug them. But, Lord, we just look unto you and say we commit to you things that are precious to us, Lord, but also precious to you and your plan and your purpose. May it be outworked. May the things you've declared over them and spoken over them come to pass wherever they be. May there be protection. May there be provision. May there be blessing. And may there be all things your presence. I pray it in Jesus' name this morning. Amen and amen. Amen. Bless you, sweetie. So Jen and Jack will be here. You can come and say goodbye and share with them and whatever else. And there's some cake to eat. And so let me just bless you, and then we will break now for morning tea and enjoy some fellowship. Father, we just put ourselves in your hands in all things. And may we be people who truly can say we trust God with all our heart. And in that, Lord, I know we will walk in your continued blessings. And I speak over these people your blessing, your truth, your presence, your desires, that we might walk in you. Bless each one today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. Please go and have morning tea together, share some fellowship.